We're turning in our Bibles to the Old Testament, to the book of Jeremiah and the chapter 52. Jeremiah chapter 52, and we're reading the last verses of that chapter, beginning at verse 31. And it came to pass in the 37th year of the captivity of Jehoiachin, king of Judah, in the 12th month, in the 25th day of the month, that Evil-Merodach, king of Babylon, in the first year of his reign, lifted up the head of Jehoiachin, king of Judah, and brought him forth out of the prison, and spake kindly unto him, and set his throne above the throne of the kings that were with him in Babylon, and changed his prison garments, and he did continually eat bread before him all the days of his life. And for his diet there was a continual diet given him of the king of Babylon, every day a portion until the day of his death, all the days of his life. Amen. And God will bless the reading of that scripture to all of our hearts. We have an interesting story before us tonight, one that is perhaps lesser known by most, even of God's people around today. Nevertheless, we can truly say at the commencement that the power and grace of Christ to save sinners are illustrated in these verses of God's precious word. The Lord Jesus Christ has been exalted to the right hand of God. He is enthroned as Prince and Savior to give repentance to sinners here on earth. In Acts chapter 5 and verse 31 we read, "Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins." Now, what a savior he is, according to the Bible. Jehoiachin had been taken from Jerusalem when he was 26 years of age. He was one of Israel's or Judah's last reigning kings. And he was taken away to Babylon as a captive. And in 2 Kings chapter 24, verses 8 and 9, we learn that Jehoiachin was a sinful man. Jehoiachin was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned in Jerusalem 3 months, and his mother's name was Nimshah, the daughter of Elkanah of Jerusalem. Verse 9, "And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father had done." And here the Holy Ghost records a man doing evil. And you can believe it, friend. Even today, there's much doubt cast upon the sinfulness of man. And people are reckoned to be good, and because of their kindness or generosity or some other merit thought of by man, that there's hope that they'll get to heaven. That's not the case. because the Bible makes it abundantly clear that man is evil. He is sinful. He is wicked in heart. And he is headed, naturally speaking, for the judgment of God. And if you're here tonight, an unsaved person, then I've just been declaring your state before God. And therefore, you need to flee from that wrath which is to come, seeking refuge and hiding in the wounds of the Christ of God, the one who was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. And so what a message of the gospel we have in the Old Testament, just as we have it in the New Testament. Consequently, after the Bible telling us that he was a sinful man, God's judgment fell upon Jehoiachin and upon his people for their continued rebellion against the Lord. They persisted in sinning against God, and they would not change their ways. And because they were bent and intent on sinning against the Lord, God brought his judgment upon them. Kings and prime ministers are not immune from the judgment of God. They may hold a high station in this world. They may be looked up to by thousands of people. But kings upon their thrones and prime ministers at their seat of power and authority are not exempt from the coming judgment of God. And those today who are responsible for bringing into our country laws that are full of iniquity, that are transgression against the word of God, will not escape the judgment of God, but one day they will stand before the Lord and give an account, and they will receive the just deserts of their deeds. Doesn't matter who they are, kings, queens, princes, or whatever. It's the same in our own nation and in our own province. And those who countenance sin and those who take part with iniquity and share it even in government will not escape the judgment of God. And if they don't escape, neither shall we. And you and I, we must remember that the word of God is true. None of us is immune from God's judgment. There is a price to be paid for transgression. And we're told that for 37 years, Jehoiachin lay a prisoner. His life was blighted. His life was wasted by his rebellion against the Lord. Let it be known, friends, that whatever price we pay for our sins here upon earth is but a pale shadow, a pale reflection of the judgment awaiting the unsaved sinner in eternity. Be sure of that. Jehoiachin's release from prison came, we are told, in the first year of Evil-Merodach's reign. Most likely, and I say it's most likely, that his release was part of the celebrations to mark the new king's accession to the throne. And the result of our Savior's victory over sin and death and hell at Calvary, and his ascension to the Father's right hand has been the release of sinners from the prison house of sin. Listen to the word of God in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 12. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. That word redemption can also be translated salvation. Having obtained eternal redemption, eternal salvation for us. The Lord Jesus Christ, having died upon the cross, shed his precious blood, raised again from the dead, ascended to the Father's right hand, he has entered into the holy place, obtaining, securing eternal redemption, everlasting salvation for us. What a message to a lost world, to a sinning world. What a message to an individual man or woman, young person, boy or girl, lost in sin, dead in trespasses and in iniquities. What a message. Christ has obtained eternal salvation for you. What a word. What a word comes to a heart that's dark and a mind that is astray with sin. What a comfort to know that there's a Savior from all sin. Will you let him in? Let him into your heart and let him in tonight. Three things I want to leave with you from this passage of the Word of God. There is, first of all, the day of Jehoiachin's deliverance. And then there is the details of his deliverance. And finally, the duration of his deliverance. And I want you to notice these things. The day of release from prison is one of great rejoicing. I know that because I have seen it happen. Having spent 14 and a half years as a part-time chaplain at the Mays prison during the worst of the troubles. And when a prisoner was coming to the end of his sentence, it was looked forward to with great anticipation and great joy. And on the day of release, there was joy not only for the prisoner, but for all the members of his family and those who knew him. A day of great rejoicing, a tremendous experience to be released from prison. No date is recalled with more joy and praise than the date of the Christian's release from sin. Of the day when a believer was born again and brought out of Egypt into the liberty of the land of Canaan to enjoy the provisions that God has prepared for them. That's a great day. That's a tremendous day. And you who are saved tonight, look back to that day, giving thanks to God and rejoicing in the experience of sins forgiven, of being released from the prison house of sin. It was a result of the king's mercy that Jehoiachin was released. It came unexpectedly. Jehoiachin found himself brought out of prison in a kind of unexpected way as a result of the mercy of the new king who had ascended the throne in Babylon. Evil Merodach was his name. My dear friends, is it not the case that we are brought out of the prison house of sin as a result of the mercy of our great King and God in heaven, who looked down in pity, saw the prisoner groaning in his sin under the burdens of guilt and care, many a spirit is grieving, who in the joy of the Lord might share life everlasting receiving. Oh, friend, what a day when God took mercy and lifted this poor sinner out of the miry pit and set his feet upon the rock of everlasting salvation. Have you had that experience? Have you been delivered from the prison house of sin? Are you a captive set free by the mercy of God? And are you rejoicing in it, giving thanks to the Almighty? As sin brought Jehoiachin to ruin and to captivity, so sin will bring you to ruin. It will bring you to captivity. For all of God's eternity, by nature, we are under a death sentence. We occupy the condemned cell, awaiting execution. There are those who believe that they have yet to stand trial for sin. In a sense, that's true. In another sense, it's not true. Because you do not have to stand trial for sin to learn of your condemnation. Because, friend, you're condemned already. Already. As you sit in this church tonight, a sinner unsaved, you're condemned. You don't have to wait until the day of judgment to know that you're condemned. You're condemned now. And the wrath of God, the judgment of God, abides on every unrepentant sinner. That's the Bible's teaching, not mine. That's what the Bible says. And we're to preach the word. People unmistakably hold out hope of acquittal without experiencing the mercy of God. The truth is, my friend, you're condemned already. Listen to John 3:18. He that believeth on him, that is on Christ, is not condemned. Do you get that? The believer tonight who's believing in Christ is not condemned. His condemnation has been removed. It's been taken away by the sacrifice of Christ on Calvary's cross. But it goes on to say, he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. You see, the sentence was passed upon Adam and upon all his offspring when he sinned in the Garden of Eden. The day, this is what God said to Adam and Eve, the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die, referring to the forbidden fruit. And Adam transgressed, and when he did, the sentence was passed, and he fell he sinned. And dying, he began to die. And he died not only physically, eventually, but he died spiritually. Spiritually, he instantly died. Physically, he died eventually. That's the result of sin. That's the judgment of God upon sin. He had an appointment with the grave. And furthermore, he had an appointment with eternal damnation, which is the sinner entering into the fullness of God's sentence on sin. That's what damnation is. The sinner's condemned already, and damnation takes him into the fullness of that sentence, which is an everlasting sentence in eternity. This then is the condition of every unconverted soul. And my friend, it's your condition. There is no hope of escape in yourself. But praise God, in Jesus Christ, salvation is freely offered to the repentant, to those seeking after God. And if you seek him with all your heart, you'll find him. Will you seek the Lord now while he is to be found, and call upon him while he is near? The day of Jehoiachin's deliverance. What about the details of his deliverance? There's a number of benefits that we discover in these few short verses. A number of benefits that arise from the kindly interest of evil Merodach in Jehoiachin's life. And according to the mercy of this king, he was delivered from prison, and Jehoiachin received as a result a number of benefits. There was the lifting up of Jehoiachin's head, verse 31. The lifting up of Jehoiachin's head. How often we need a lifting up by the Lord. Many a head hangs down. Many a knee is feeble. Many a heart is fearful, and our heads droop because of the condition that we experience at a given time. Is there anyone here tonight in need of the lifting up of your head? You need encouragement. You need to lift your eyes and behold the Lord. Focus on him. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. My friend, it brings about a change to the whole course and the whole matter. You come to this meeting tonight, over this last while, you've been hanging your head in fear, in doubt, over maybe something in your life, or something you fear might happen, or some past experience. I'm glad tonight there's one who can lift you up. He can cause you to rejoice. He can bring about a change in your attitude. His touch has lost none of its ancient power, because he is the great lifter up of the head. Will you let him lift you up tonight and stand by faith on heaven's tableland and plant your feet on higher ground? That was one of the benefits Jehoiachin received on his release from prison. When he came out of the prison house, the king lifted up his head. I'm glad that King Jesus is here tonight. The Lord of Lords. And he lifts up those who are fallen. He lifts up those who are cast down. He strengthens the weak. He gives life and fire to her soul. And he strengthens her faith. And he puts her hand in ours. And he leads us on. He leads us forth. And he gives us victory. And praise God, there's victory over the world. And over the flesh and over the devil. There's no longer any need then to hang down the head. But we lift it up and we sing our praises to the God of heaven. The God who gives us the victory again and again. This, of course, is a metaphorical phrase meaning that evil Merodach exalted Jehoiachin out of the disgrace and out of the dishonor of the prison cell. Yes, he did. Brought him out of that disgraceful prison, out of that dishonorable place. And this same phrase is used of the butler that Pharaoh restored to his position in Genesis chapter 40. Praise God, in the Lord Jesus Christ, there is a lifting up for the downcast. And then in verse 32, notice he spake kindly. The king spoke to Jehoiachin a good message. He spoke to Jehoiachin joyful things that he had planned to do for him. Such are the contents of the Bible for those who are the subjects of God's grace. Our great King in heaven speaks to us good things. He brings joyful things into our lives and lets us know what he has planned for us, what lies in the future. For no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. The Lord is with us. And the Bible, my friend, contains all the contents of the good that God has purposed for you and me. And therefore, the Bible is important. It's God's word. It's food for the soul. Let's read it, study it, meditate upon it, and find out all the good that God has spoken to his people, and enjoy immeasurably deep those things which he has provided. The larder is full. There's no hunger with God. And thank God tonight, he will not send his people away hungry and empty. Let us come to him and let us be full of the joy of the Lord and of the goodness of God in our soul. The king here, he spoke kindly. He spoke goodly. He spoke of the things that have been planned for Jehoiachin. And isn't it good to know tonight, we don't have to map out our own pathway in life. Because God has a plan. And it's here in the book. And he wants to reveal it to us. The Lord has things planned for you. Eye hath not seen, nor ear hath not heard, the things that God hath prepared for those that love him. The king spake kindly. Let us rejoice in the Lord then. Notice in verse 32 also, that he set Jehoiachin on a throne. One of the most precious verses in the Bible is found in the Song of Hannah in 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 8. Listen to what she says in her song. Make it your song. My, this song changes everything. And if only you could get this song in your heart, it'll change your life. Listen to it. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust, and lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill, to set them among princes, and to make them inherit the throne of glory. Can you ask for anything better than that? And is there anything better than that to be gained? I say no. What would it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lost his soul? What would you give in exchange for your soul? It's far better to be like Hannah, rejoicing in the Lord, knowing God's salvation, experiencing it in her heart, and willing to share it with others as she sang about it. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust. He lifts up the beggar from the dunghill. And he sets them among princes and makes them inheritors of the throne of glory. That's my position tonight. As a young boy of 14 years of age, down in the border district, across in County Monaghan, at the age of 14, God saved me. He brought me up out of the dust of sin and mire and the pit. He lifted me from the dunghill. And what did he do? He set me among princes and made me an inheritor of his throne. That'll never change. Doesn't matter if the sky falls, or if the earth opens up to swallow me, this promise remains. It can't be altered. I'm the Lord's. And I'll sit with him on his throne one day, as he promises in Revelation. And praise God, he has set me upon a throne. Are you there tonight? You enjoy what mercy? That we should be made kings and priests unto God. And we shall reign with him forever. Furthermore, in verse 33 this time, notice that he was arrayed in royal robes. Gone were the prison rags. He was robed in royal garments. Gone are those prison rags. Remember Bartimaeus? He's been mentioned already in prayer tonight. He, casting away his garments, came to Christ. What kind of garments were they? They were the garments of sin, rags of self-righteousness. But casting them away, he came to Christ, and for the first time in his life, he saw the Savior. He looked into the face of his blessed Lord. And we're told that Bartimaeus' heart was melted. He trusted Christ and followed him in the way. That's a good sign, isn't it? When we see those who profess to be Christians following after Christ, that's the acid test. Many make a profession, but they never follow Christ. There's no change in their life or attitude. There's no deliverance, no evidence of it. But here's Bartimaeus. He's a changed man now. He's a new man, a new creature. And he's following Christ in the way. Are you following Christ tonight? Are you walking in the ways of God? Are you pleasing to Him? Are you in obedience to all that God has said in His Word? He was arrayed in royal robes. Remember Lazarus, who had been dead 4 days in the grave, and he began to stink. And the stench was on the grave clothes. As Lazarus was stripped of his grave clothes, he was arrayed in garments of the living, no longer of the dead. The grave clothes spoke of death, but now they're removed. He's no longer dead, he's alive. And every saved man and woman tonight is no longer dead in trespasses and in sins. The grave clothes have been removed. And the garments of life and of righteousness, the new garments, are on him or her. And thank God tonight we wear the righteousness of Christ, imputed to us, received by faith alone. Thank God for such a wonderful salvation. Wonder tonight, are you arrayed in the royal robes of Christ's righteousness? Or are you still walking in this world in your own rags of sin and pleasure and worldliness? Maybe some in self-righteousness. Friend, you must get rid of those. They'll never take you to heaven. Rather, they'll damn you immeasurably deep in hell for all eternity. You need to be saved. You need to be saved now, because the Bible says now is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Look at verse 34. And we learn there that he was fed from the king's table. A Christian is fed not just physically, but spiritually by God. Psalm 23, verse 5, and how oft we sing it. It says, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies." God gives to his children their daily bread, both for their souls and for their bodies. It is the finest of the fair. Listen to Psalm 92. Listen to it. "The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar of Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age." Quite a lot of us are getting there now. Old age. It doesn't diminish the ability for fruit bearing spiritually in our lives. And we want to bear fruit in our lives until the day God takes us home. It's been known that when people grow older, they become softer. And sadly, many of God's dear saints in the past have even compromised in their old age. May God keep us from compromise. And may we be like Caleb, as fit and as alert and as good a soldier at an old age as he was in his earlier life. He was 85. And he went to Joshua. And he said to him, "Joshua, give me this mountain, the hardest mountain in all of Israel. hardest place, it was where the Anakims dwelt, the giants. It was down at Hebron, and he wanted the Mount of Hebron where Anakim dwelt. And at 85 he says, I am as fit this day and as able this day as I was when I entered this land. And you and I need to keep battling on to the very end, holding fast the faith, earnestly contending, not diluting, but marching on in the army of God. Is that the way it is with you tonight? We put a lot of emphasis on young people and their activities, and sometimes we forget the older people like ourselves. And God has just as much to say to us as he has to young people, and how he wants us to remain faithful and strong and true to the very end of the journey. And then, entering in triumphantly, to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of thy Lord. What a triumph, what a victory. We have so much to look forward to. It's not the end. The beginning is only starting. And thank God, there's an eternity awaiting in the presence of God for all eternity. That brings us, and our time is gone, but brings us to the duration of Jehoiachin's deliverance. How long? How long? These good things that I have been enumerating to you just now, these good things continued for as long as the king, that is, evil Merodach, lived. They continued for as long as the king that showed him mercy lived. How long shall the benefits of salvation be enjoyed by a saved sinner? How long? Is there a limit to the continuance of God's bliss and the benefits that we received? Well, let me tell you that since Jehoiachin's benefits continued until the death of evil Merodach, for as long as that earthly king lived, I want to tell you tonight and remind you that the benefits of salvation will continue for as long as our great king liveth. Our God in heaven. And how long? Forever and ever. Never to be diminished. What hope. What a thrill. What joy. To know that this is our portion in the salvation of the Lord. Oh, let us rejoice. Our King Jesus reigns forever. He lives forever, and because he lives, we shall live also. Listen to Lamentations 5:19. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. Thou, O Lord, remainest forever. Thy throne from generation to generation. Listen to Revelation chapter 11, verse 15. The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. And he shall reign forever and ever. The benefits of the gospel shall endure as long as the one whose death and resurrection purchased those benefits. Praise God. There's no end. Of his kingdom, there is no end. Aren't you glad you're not depending on a church to save you, or a creed or religion or good works? We're depending on the God of heaven. We're leaning on Christ. We're trusting in him alone, and the benefits of his salvation last forever and ever. they're mine tonight and are yours in Christ. Oh, I wonder, is your trust and hope in him tonight? Have you experienced the lifting up of your head by the nail-pierced hand of Christ? Do you sit in his presence and enjoy the royal provisions from his table? If the answer to these questions is no, then let me urge you to repent of your sin now and call upon God for mercy. Hear what the psalmist said in Psalm 86. For thou, Lord, art good. Listen to it. And ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. Call now, call today, and you'll find what the psalmist said is right.